Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Now, this is an entirely different college basketball landscape because, frankly, I am way more interested in the women's tournament than I am the men's tournament. So that's got me glued to the TV every single night, alternating between men's and women's games. They have become must watch both men and women in this college basketball tournament. And North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MANIX. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code MANIX. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
And we are back. Boxing with Chris Mannix, part of the Volume Sports Podcast Network. I want to welcome in all the subscribers that are listening on the podcast feed. If you are not a subscriber, well, what are you waiting for? Get over to that feed, hit that subscribe button, the follow button. Make sure you don't miss an episode every week. We got a great show for you this week. Lance Pugmire is in. Longtime boxing journalist, now working over at BoxingScene.com. Busy week in the world of boxing. We have three cards on three different platforms this weekend. I will be in Los Angeles, where Zerto Ramirez will attempt to become a two-division world champion when he takes on longtime cruiserweight title holder Arsan Gulamirian. I think that is a fascinating fight on paper. Zerto is the more accomplished guy, the more active guy, but Gulamirian has a great trainer behind him in Abel Sanchez, and he hits like a mule, so it's a really intriguing fight to me. Lance, he will be in Las Vegas for the premiere of PBC on Amazon Prime pay-per-view. Obviously, some changes to that show recently. Keith Thurman is out. Sebastian Fendora is in. And I think that makes that card a lot more competitive. You guys know my thoughts on Tim Zhu and Keith Thurman. Didn't like it. Not one bit. I do like Zhu against Fendora. We'll get Lance's thoughts on that, plus some insight into what we can expect on Amazon over the rest of the year. A little bit later, Tim Zhu drops by. We get into the change in opponent, how he is preparing for the chatter about Zhu and Terrence Crawford happening next, if he has any interest in facing Thurman down the road. and so much more. So stick around for that as well. As always, subscribe, rate, review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. The best thing you can do to support the pod, write a quick review, leave a rating, preferably a 5-star rating. It's the best way to make sure we keep doing the show week after week. All right, when we come back, I will be joined by Lance Bugmeyer. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, Lance Pugmeyer is back. BoxingScene.com, pay-per-view.com. And Lance, we are speaking at the dawn of what is going to be a very busy week in boxing. You have a show on Friday on ESPN that's headlined by Oscar Valdez against Liam Wilson. On Saturday in Los Angeles, I will be there for the Gilberto Ramirez Arsan Gulamerian cruiserweight title fight. And also on Saturday in Vegas, you will be at the Tim Tszyu Sebastian Fundora headline fight. That will be the debut of PBC on Amazon Prime pay-per-view. So, we've got a lot to get into as far as this week goes. But I do want to begin this conversation with some of the news of the week. And I want to start with some of the news that came out of Saudi Arabia this week, specifically as it comes or as it pertains to David Benavidez's place in the light heavyweight division. Saudi officials have floated this idea that the winner of Dmitry Bivol against Archer Beterbiev, which is set to take place on June 1st, part of a massive card over in Saudi Arabia, the winner of that fight could face David Benavidez. Now, up to this point, I have been under the impression that this could be a two-fight arrangement between Bivol and Beterbiev, but what Turki Alashik wants, Turki Alashik gets, and as of right now, it seems like he wants the winner of Bivol against Beterbiev to take on David Benavidez. This was welcomed news by people close to David Benavidez. But what do you think of it? What do you make of the chances we get Benavidez against the winner of Bivol and Beterbiev?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a possibility, as you said. I mean, money can make a lot of people do anything they want, right? So, but from that standpoint, I mean, there's two things going on. I think that there are also was a segment of Benavidez's camp that would love for him to stay in the U.S. and fight Canelo Alvarez at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. It makes a lot of sense. You know, they say the money can be there in regards to you charge $100 per pay-per-view. If you can get 1.6 million buys, it's a big ask, but it could happen. And then you
is that fantasy land? What fantasy land is that? $100 a pop and 1.6 million pay-per-view buys. What? Who is living in that reality?
And then the other part of it is that, you know, if they could, you know, get an average price of $600 per ticket with 70,000 people in the stadium. Again, this is what they are floating. Then, you know, the money could be there for Canelo, because Canelo has thrown out this astronomical figure of 150 million minimum to fight Benavidez. Now, look, if that cannot happen, and, you know, odds are it will not, then yes, this makes all the sense in the world for David Benavidez, right? Because look, this is a guy who's naturally big. He's already fighting at light heavyweight. He's going to have a June 15th fight underneath Gervonta Davis on PBC on Amazon Prime Video. And it sets him up perfectly time-wise to take this bout. And not only that, I mean, we believe that David Benavidez is a big enough guy to ultimately one day move up to heavyweight and be not, you know, we know that Andy Ruiz Jr. beat him to become the first Mexican-American heavyweight champion of all time. But David Benavidez is a guy who could have staying power in that spot. And so this is a promising turn of events for David, I believe. Don't take stop chasing the Canelo money and go after your own stardom for the next decade.
Okay, well, just a couple things. One, there is no scenario where David Benavidez can make more money fighting Canelo Alvarez in the U.S. or fighting Canelo in the U.S. versus fighting the winner of Beterbiev Bivol over in Saudi Arabia. Those numbers are pure fiction. Like, getting to 1.6 million pay-per-view buys in today's landscape is almost impossible. You know, whether it's because of piracy, lack of interest, whatever you want to say, it is extremely difficult to get to that number. Live gate, right? Like, Canelo Alvarez, a couple of years ago, put, 70-plus thousand into AT&T Stadium in Texas. That live gate was only $9 million. So the live gates at stadiums are not equivalent to live gates at smaller venues in Vegas or New York. They charge more for tickets. It's a more welcoming experience for fans. Like, you're not charging any real money for a seat up in the rafters at Allegiant Stadium. That's just not happening. So I hope you enjoyed your spin through the Samson Lukowicz fever dream right there. But that is exactly what it is. It's a fever dream by Samson and company that they can somehow cobble together a deal that gets Canelo to $150 million or even $100 million to make that fight happen. I think for Benavidez, you have got to embrace this opportunity, if it comes along, to fight the winner of Beterbiev against Bivol. Right now, it looks like Benavidez is going to fight in June at light heavyweight against Alexander Vostik, a former light heavyweight champion. If he comes through that fight and looks great in it, it's only going to increase the momentum for him to face the winner of Beterbiev against Bivol, which will happen a couple of weeks earlier. And I don't know how much money the Saudis willing to put up. It's probably going to be $10, $15 million for Benavidez to take that fight. And if Benavidez can beat the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol, which is not impossible. Like, Benavidez is younger. He's as big as these guys. It would be a competitive fight, no doubt about it. If he can win that fight, all of a sudden, Canelo's on the table for May of 2025. It's going to happen. Like, he will have completely boxed Canelo in to the point where, whether it's in the U.S. or Saudi Arabia, somebody is going to put up massive dollars for Canelo Alvarez, David Benavidez, because you may have, at that time, the undisputed super middleweight champion versus who would be the undisputed light heavyweight champion. That sells itself. Lance. So to me, that is the path for David Benavidez to pursue.
Given everything that Canelo has done up to this point, you believe he would make that turn and say, I'll take a fight in May 2025?
1,000%, because the money will be huge and the legacy would be huge. Like, look, I'm of the belief that assuming Canelo gets through Jaime Munguia unscathed, we're probably going to see Canelo Edgar Berlanga in September. I think that's the path that he's on right now. Can be spun as Edgar Berlanga being the mandatory for Canelo, even though he probably isn't. I think that is the path of least resistance and most money for Canelo. So if he walks through that and still has all four belts at 168, and Benavidez has all four belts at 175, there is, I have very little doubt that Canelo would pass on that type of fight.
1.6 million buys?
1.6 million. When, like, at $100 a pop, what world are we living in that somebody's paying $100 a pop in the piracy era, where I know way too many people that are watching boxing pay-per-views and watching boxing streams on things called like meth streams and crack streams and things like that. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. I will be there for that fight. I would buy that fight, but people like you and me, we're not. There's not 1.6 million of us, that's for sure, that are going to get up there. So while I respect the people around David Benavidez, I think they're living in an alternate reality there. So if I'm Benavidez, take this fight at light heavyweight, look spectacular against Alexander Vostik, which I think you can look spectacular there. Yeah. When it's over, kind of glare at Eddie Reynoso in the corner, who is the trainer of Vostik, make a big spectacle of it, then take on the winner of Better Biev against Bivol, win that fight, and then if Canelo doesn't fight you then, the gloves are off when it comes to Canelo Alvarez, because then it's about money, then it's about legacy. There's no way you can turn to somebody else in May of 2025 and justify that type of fight.
Great point. So, except for, I think the only other thing that I go back to, Chris, is the idea that maybe he wins that light heavyweight championship and says, like, I'm just going to continue this path upward and onward to the heavyweight division. Can you see that happening?
Not really, because it sure looks like the heavyweight division is going to be tied up for a while, right? Like, whatever happens with Usyk Fury, if Fury wins, most likely going to see AJ against Fury in August or September. Maybe that's a two-fight deal. Like, it just, if he had an easy path to fight like Alexander Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight championship, maybe. Yeah. But I'm not even sure there's more money in an Usyk fight as undisputed light heavyweight versus undisputed heavyweight. I'm not sure there's more money in that than there would be in a Canelo fight. Right. I just think a Canelo fight, because it's been building for the last couple of years. And by the way, this is what happens in boxing. Like, did we forget the Floyd Mayweather era, where Floyd just put off big fights and put off big fights and put off big fights? And to his credit, it all kind of worked out. Fought Manny Pacquiao in the biggest fight of all time. So Canelo was just taking a page out of Floyd's playbook, saying, you know what, I'll fight this guy, but give me $150 million. Or, you know, or even if it doesn't get to that number, you build it and you build it and you build it. And Canelo's no fool. He knows that this year for him, you know, Munguia's going to be I think a tough fight as long as it lasts, but I think you and I both agree Munguia is probably going to get blasted out of there at some point. Berlanga has not shown anything to make you believe he's on that level of Canelo Alvarez. So Canelo can look at this year and say, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to have all my belts. I'm going to be the undisputed champion at 168. And then let's see what the landscape looks like in 2025. Let's see how much bigger David Benavidez has become, whether it's, you know, through the light heavyweight championship or something else. This is not unfamiliar territory, right? Like, this is stuff we have seen over and over and over again in boxing. Most recently, it happened with Floyd. Now it's happening with Canelo.
Great point. And, you know, the other thing that's in play is that they're kicking around the idea of a September commercial card at Wembley Stadium to really hype that December fight that very well could be Benavidez versus the Bivol better be a winner.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the path I would choose if I was David Benavidez. Put Canelo on the shelf for right now. Focus on light heavyweight. Get through that, and then we'll see what happens there. All right, Let's talk about the fight this weekend in LA first. Zerto Ramirez moving up in weight to cruiserweight. He moved up to cruiserweight for his last fight, but it was against a light heavyweight in Joe Smith, so not a full-fledged cruiserweight fight. This time he's going up against a long-standing cruiserweight champion, Arsan Gulamaryan, trained by the great Abel Sanchez, best known for his work with Gennady Golovkin. This is an interesting fight to me because on paper, I think Zerto has a lot of advantages. He's the more active fighter in the ring. He's been the more active fighter overall. Gulamaryan has not fought since like 2022. End of 2022 was his last fight. So you can see how Zerto could have a pathway to a wide decision win. But Gulamaryan can crack. And even though Zerto's got a really good chin or has shown a good chin at super middleweight and light heavyweight, we don't know what it's going to look like against a real cruiserweight puncher, especially a puncher who's got a good trainer behind him and Abel Sanchez is going to have him prepared for this type of fight. So how do you see this matchup on Saturday between Zerto and Gulamaryan?
Look, a couple things come to mind with this fight. I think that in talking to some boxing people, they are very high on what Zerto Ramirez as a cruiserweight champion will bring to this sport. It really livens up a division that has been really dormant since Alexander Usyk stood as undisputed champion. So that's one thing. But Gulamaryan, like you said, working with Abel Sanchez says, look, my guy trains all the time with heavyweights. He is ready for this fight. And this is, you know, he's basically fighting, you can make the case, a glorified light heavyweight. And so as this fight goes on, it's going to be a pounding where Zerto is not going to be able to stand up to a guy that, like you said, is trained by Abel Sanchez. And we know the way that Abel works. Abel is very thoughtful, very deliberate, and he's very confident about his guy as he heads into this bout. Abel really wants this to be a showcase that will allow his guy to really set himself up for, you know, the rest of his career, however many years he has, which is, you know, pretty minimal. So that to me, that's what's going on. I think that Gulamaryan is going to win this fight, win it probably like, you know, by eighth, ninth round, and then just kind of stamp himself as the best cruiserweight in the world with Abel Sanchez, and where he goes from here will be, it's going to have to be more compelling than what Zerto Ramirez will be left to do.
Wow. So you're taking Gulamaryan to win this fight. I would pump the brakes on best cruiserweight in the world because there's a guy named Jai Apatia who is really friggin' good. Yeah. So I think that jury will still be out even if Gulamaryan comes through Zerto. My concern with Gulamaryan is that he's not very active in the ring, right? He's not a volume puncher. Zerto is a volume puncher. And I think Zerto has looked really good of late since he added Malik Scott to that team, working with Julian Chua in that Brickhouse boxing gym. So I think he's continued to evolve as a fighter. What I saw against Joe Smith was a guy that was a lot more light on his feet than I've seen him in previous fights, a lot more comfortable boxing and moving than I've seen him in previous fights. He's going to have to be all that and more in this fight because Gulamaryan, if he gets a hold of him, it could be lights out because Gulamaryan does have really heavy hands in this weight class. But I don't know, man. Like, maybe I have more of a belief in Zerto's chin than you do, because while I can certainly see a knockout win for Gulamaryan, I can also see like a 118-110 type of fight for Zerto, because he is, if this goes to the scorecards, Lance, he's going to be way up. He just is. I don't see a scenario where Gulamaryan outboxes him. I do see a scenario where Gulamaryan just overwhelms him, lands some bombs, gets him out of there. But as far as boxers go, I favor Zerto in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point that, you know, a veteran guy, how much can he truly adapt and change and improve later on in his career? But I know Abel has spent some significant time with him and is very confident. And Abel's not really one to blow smoke. So it's going to be a fascinating evening, Chris, for you out in LA for sure.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the resume of Gulamaryan. Again, has not fought since November of 2019, beat Alexei Egorov on that night, won a decision in that fight. Not a ton of names on his resume, Lance. Kane Watts, Mark Flanagan, Riyad Murray is a good fighter. That's how he won his cruiserweight title back in 2018. I believe that was the vacated belt by Alexander Usyk. So he's been a champion for, what, 6 years now? Almost 6 years now. So that's pretty impressive. But, you know, fought twice in 2018, twice in 2019. Didn't fight again until 2022. So he has fought one time since December of 2019. That's a variable in all this. Whereas Azurdo Ramirez, he fought back in October against Joe Smith. Before that, he had taken about a year off, then fought Dimitri Bivol. But before that, he was really active. He was fighting Dominic Bosel, Yuneski Gonzalez, Sullivan Barrera. So the activity edge goes to Azurdo Ramirez. And what? How old is Gulamarian? He's in his mid-30s, yeah, right?
Like he's 35.
Yeah, 34, 35, something like that. And Zerto's not young either. He's 32 at this point. Look, I just think Zerto is going to have a good game plan to box. I think he's going to find ways to stick and move. And maybe that'll only last for 7-8 rounds. Maybe Gulamarian will eventually track him down. But
yeah,
for a guy in his mid-30s that hasn't been active, I worry about his conditioning as well. Look, it's a I'm surprised that you are so bullish on Gulamarian.
Let's watch what happens. Weight classes matter, Chris.
I get that. I get that. And look, Zerto, this will be his first fight at cruiserweight. The last fight against Joe Smith, I think, was a 193-pound catchweight. So that's not the full 200. Granted, Zerto has one of the freakish bodies you'll ever see in boxing. One that can shrink down to 175 and rehydrate 24 hours later to 205. I've actually seen that happen. Gosh. So that's weird. So he can fill the frame, but it's one thing to rehydrate to 200 pounds, another thing to be solid at 200 pounds. We've seen countless times, Lance, whether it's this weight class, other weight classes, it takes guys time to become full-fledged whatever weights, right? Terrence Crawford's a great example. Moved up to 147. He wasn't a true solid welterweight, really, until that Errol Spence fight. And I remember BOMAC, the trainer for Terrence Crawford, warning people over and over again, like, don't let this guy get comfortable at this weight. So, yeah, you may be right there that, you know, weight classes do matter, and Zerto is not quite at that cruiserweight level just yet. But I think it does make this fight pretty interesting because I think Zerto's boxing skills are better than Gulamarian's. I think Gulamarian has much more power than Zerto, especially in the cruiserweight division. So, the show you will be attending this weekend is in Vegas. You'll be there for pay-per-view.com. It's had a couple of permutations now, right? It began as a show headlined by Tim Tszyu against Keith Thurman. Just last week, Keith Thurman bowed out of the fight, has a biceps injury. In steps Sebastian Fundora, who was supposed to face Sergey Boychuk in the opening bout for a WBC title. Now that title is going to be on the line against Tim Tszyu. Two belts on the line. I've said this repeatedly, Lance. I thought the Keith Thurman versus Tim Tszyu fight was non-competitive. I thought there was a 0.0% chance that Keith Thurman was going to win that fight. I think this one's going to be more competitive. I still favor Tim Tszyu, but Sebastian Fundora has one loss on his resume, and it was a catastrophic knockout to Brian Mendoza in his last fight. But he was winning every round of that fight before he got hit with a shot. He is massive for 154. 6 foot six, 154 pounds. I have no idea. The genetics of Sebastian Fundora and his sister, who is a 112-pound champion, are freakish, how they can squeeze down to these weight classes. So Fundora, who is a banger, who is strong, who's got size, he's good. And I think this is a much more competitive fight for Tim Tszyu than Keith Thurman would have been. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, no, it is interesting fight, no doubt about it. I mean, don't forget the 80-inch reach of Sebastian Fundora. It's amazing.
The problem is he doesn't use it, though. Like that, I mean, I don't, like, he never
uses it. He's going to have to in this fight. He's going to want us to keep
everything's a fight in a phone booth with him, though.
Yeah.
But everything with him is on the inside.
Well, he's got to watch himself this fight, right? I mean, he can't expose his body to Tim Tszyu throughout, you know, multiple rounds, or he's going to fall again. Let's be honest. I mean, that's what Tim Tszyu wants to do. That's what he wants to subject him to. Even Bohachek was talking about that, you know, in their fight. You know, I'm gonna pound the body. So you know, it's an it is a more interesting fight. I know you didn't like Keith Thurman in the prior.
That's an understatement. Yeah,
and you know, I think the Keith Thurman injury is legit. You know, he'll be back on some level.
Yeah.
But for Tim Tszyu, you know, this is an opportunity to capture the two belts and position himself for a showdown with Terrence Crawford, who's already basically coordinated with the WBO to be in line for this fight. So, you know, look, there's a lot of unique things going on with this fight, Chris, on Prime Video. Obviously, it being the debut, I think they're putting their best foot forward here with four title fights. It's not like, you know, it's not filled with household names, but I think Raleigh Romero and Pitbull Cruz is a good fight. Two other title fights with Arizlandi Lara and Julio Cesar Martinez on this card as well. It's interesting to me, you know, like, can this card help change the paradigm of boxing? I think that's the thing that I'm really watching, because it's like something has to be done. HBO has gone away. Showtime has gone away. Ratings have sagged. You know, the whole world that we live in with boxing, and I'm not going to say the corruption of it, but just the manipulation of the sport has to stop, and it has to, you know, become like, let's make the best fights. Let's follow the UFC model and do the kinds of things that they are doing on this card to show, you know, everyone world title fights.
So you've been in contact with the people with Prime Video. You talked to PBC people as well. Right now, they've got three shows scheduled, right? You got the one March 30th. You've got Canelo against Munguia on May 4th. And you've got what's believed to be a mid-June date for Gervonta Davis against Frank Martin. We keep hearing about, all right, in addition to the pay-per-views, we're going to get as many as a dozen non-pay-per-view shows. But right now, there's nothing scheduled. And we're hitting the one-third mark of the 2024 calendar. Like, are you buying that? Are you buying that we're going to get, you know, a half dozen or more non-pay-per-view shows with Amazon?
By the end of the year, you know, I think.
By the end of the year,
yeah. I mean, ultimately, they want to have like a dozen of these shows per year. So, you know. Look.
Okay, but just do the math, Lance. We're already talking in at least two in some months.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
I mean, like the math doesn't really add up.
It doesn't add up. And the other thing is, how are they going to view like college football season as well, too? So, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here.
Historically, not a section of the calendar that people want to do fights on, at least not on Saturday night. And by the way, Friday could become a wash as well, with college football looking to penetrate that landscape. The NFL, I think the NFL's goal ultimately is to go every day of the week at some point. So, yeah, I have some skepticism that we're going to get double-digit non-pay-per-view events on Prime Video.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, Chris. I think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt at this point, just because, like, you know, a fresh start is needed. So let's see what they can come up with. The way it's been described to me is that these Prime Video cards will feature up-and-coming fighters that PBC has. Now, the thing is that let's see quality fights. You know, the matchmaking it's really going to be on these guys to be able to make entertaining fights, because when fight fans are turning in to a main event, they want to see a good scrap. They don't want to see a walkover where someone says that they're good, you know, by third round knockout. I mean, we can see that on the undercard of Canelo, you know? So again, I think that this is really a golden opportunity when you consider the amount of eyeballs that will be on the Prime Video cards. And I know like they're still working on things about distributing it to foreign locations as well. That should be sorted out here in short order. But, you know, take advantage of this. This opportunity existed before when PBC struck the deal, remember, at its origin with NBC and ABC and all of those networks. And it just seems like it was a missed opportunity. That can't happen again, I don't think. I think that boxing has a great opportunity to get over the firewalls that exist in co-promotion, the manipulations, like I've said, with the sanctioning bodies. Put your foot down, you know, like say, like, enough is enough. Look at, I understand that you've lined your pockets with cash from sanctioning fees, but look at what has happened to the sport in the meantime. So there is this opportunity here, and I believe that it can start by what is happening on Saturday night in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the what's a little ironic is that this card coming up, more so maybe now with Keith Thurman off it, would have been a perfect Prime Video non-pay-per-view card because it is compelling from top to bottom, right? Like, we just talked about the main event. I think the Rolly-Pitbull fight is really interesting. Yeah. You know, Rolly is 140-pound champion, but he's probably the most criticized 140-criticized world champion out there right now. Whereas Pitbull had a competitive fight with Gervonta Davis, and all of a sudden he thought that entitled him to, like, you know, whatever. You know, at the very least, a rematch with Gervonta. So that, to me, is a 50-50 type of fight. You throw in the fact that, you know, both those guys turned down opportunities to fight Ryan Garcia. Like, there's a lot of intrigue to that fight. Even, you know, Bochuk and now Brian Mendoza. Yeah. That's a scrap. Oh, yeah. Like, that is a scrap. Like, you put aside the titles and all that, that is an absolute scrap that you're going to get to see on Saturday. The problem is, like, and people have said this, you know, Lou DiBella was on this podcast a week ago. Others have said it. People buy pay-per-views based on the top of the ticket, right? Like, they buy because they're willing to pay money to see Canelo. They buy because they're willing to pay money, theoretically, to see Ryan Garcia fight Devin Haney. They bought a year ago because they wanted to see Gervonta Davis fight Ryan Garcia. Like, that is why people are willing to throw down $60, $80, $100 to watch a pay-per-view. They're just less likely to do that because they think they're going to get a good competitive fight. That's unfortunate, but that's kind of the way it is. So I am interested to see what the pay-per-view numbers are for this Amazon debut. But I'm more interested to see what level of fights they're willing to put on Amazon Prime. Are we going to get, like, a competitive main event like we have on Saturday on regular Amazon Prime? Like, that's what I'm eager to see, because Amazon's reach is unparalleled. Right? Like, everyone, especially in the U.S., has Amazon in their homes. I order, like, toothpaste on Amazon on a given day. I think I just ordered, like, five things this morning on Amazon today. Like, people have it. It has great distribution. They have an opportunity to really showcase boxing to an even big, larger mass, or larger swath of people. But they got to do it right. And the jury is still out on how they're going to do it. And you're right. Give them the benefit of the doubt, but the jury is definitely still out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're absolutely right. I'm just looking at the card, like you said. I mean, a guy like Elijah Garcia, who's on this card, really, and if he talented. Wins, he gets the title shot. I mean, let's just assume that Lara wins this fight. Put that at the top.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not Lara. I think that's a competitive fight too. I think Lara could lose that fight. No, no. I'm actually more interested in betting you on Zerto Wilmarion, but
that's fine.
I think you've been you. And your pal, your golf buddy, Abel Sanchez, have been, I think you have been snookered, perhaps. You are being overly influenced by the great
Abel
Sanchez.
I'm telling you, he's worked with the guy for a long time. I
have spent almost a week now watching every Gulamarian fight on YouTube. I see Abel Sanchez in the corner of those fights. So there's definitely a chemistry there. Inactivity, age, lack of output, I don't know.
Let's see what happens. Anyways, what I'm saying is, okay, when you're talking about the Prime Video cards, Elijah Garcia wins this fight on Saturday. Lara wins. Perfect main event for one of the PBC on Prime Video, PBC championship fights on Prime Video. Right?
Middleweight championship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that, I mean, those are the opportunities. Take advantage of them. Don't be afraid to bring in a guy from another promotion to put him on your stage. It's going to help the sport. It's going to help you.
I mean, look at the main event here. Like, Tim Zhu is a PBC guy, sort of, right? Like, he's PBC adjacent. Right. But Tim Zhu's focus is being active, right? If Tim Zhu can't get opportunities with PBC, Tim Zhu's going to take his talents elsewhere. Now, that probably isn't going to happen this year because it seems likely if Zhu beats Fundora, we get a Terrence Crawford fight, which, by the way, is a great fight. Like, that is a great fight. I would favor Crawford, but I think Tim Zhu is getting better every single fight. And as you just said, Weight classes matter. Moving up to 154, we'll see if Terrence takes the same kind of punches that he does at 147. Let's see if he has the same kind of power he did at 147. I think that is a really compelling fight. That is a natural Amazon Prime pay-per-view. Easy one to make right there.
And by the way, last thing, I'm sorry, to talk about how boxing has sucked in the past. This main event should be Zhu versus Jermell Charlo, right? Wouldn't that be a perfect way for this whole thing to start? Instead, everyone got involved and screwed it up.
Yeah, although I don't know when we're going to see Jermell Charlo back in the ring. That could be a while. There's a lot going on in the world of Jermell Charlo at the moment that might keep him out of the ring for the foreseeable future. All right, Lance, very interesting weekend coming up. I will be texting you from L.A. updates on the Zurdo Gulamarian card, and I expect the same from you from Vegas. Good to catch up, man. Catch Lance on BoxingScene.com, PayPerView.com as well. Appreciate your time, Lance.
Thank you so much, Chris. Anytime.
And when we come back, my conversation with Tim Zhu. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, Tim Zhu is here, the WBO 154-pound champion. On Saturday, he will look to unify belts when he takes on Sebastian Fundora. That's a fight you can watch on Amazon Prime pay-per-view. And Tim, for people watching, it's been a wild couple of weeks. What have these last couple of weeks been like for you to watch Keith Thurman drop out and Sebastian Fundora step in?
Yeah, it's just been being able to adapt to change, you know. Took one night, found we got new sparring partners, sparred three times. So, you know, the change was made and the show goes on.
So, Keith Thurman's had a history of injuries. He's had a history of pulling out of fights. What was your reaction when you were told that he was not going to be available to fight?
Yeah, I was shattered, you know. I was shattered. I remember when I got the news about Charlo, same thing. I was just in disbelief. But then I said, all right, what do we do? And then they gave me the next option. I said, all right, done, deal. Let's get it on.
Did they give you options, or was Fundora the guy you were just presented with?
No, they gave me Fundora and Lara. But being at 154, I said I'm will fight Fundora.
You could, so you could have fought Lara for, would it have been Lara's middleweight title?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how. It was just they were the two names that were presented.
Why was this the right one for you? Why did you choose Fundora?
Oh, because he's in my weight, 154. Yeah.
Did you know at the time that this was going to be made a unification fight, that it would not only be just Fundora, but it would be for a second belt?
No, I didn't. Mm. No, I didn't. That just all of that came around, I think, a day after. So all of that just became even more appetizing.
So you were preparing for a guy that's like 5'6", 5'7", right-handed fighter who moves a lot. You're going to fight a guy that's 6'6", left-handed, who doesn't move that much at all. Like, how big an adjustment is this going to be for you?
It's opposite. It's complete opposite. Like, you can't even describe any similarities between them two at all. So it is what it is, you know. Champions adapt to anything. 1 week prep for a fight of this magnitude, whatever, you know. I'm going to show the world that, you know, you can put your mind to it and adapt to anything given in life circumstances.
Did you think at all about, you know, just walking away from this fight, postponing to another day?
Never.
Why not?
That's not who I am, you know. It's not part of me to postpone. The show goes on, you know. We're creating history. I'm living my dream. I'm living a young kid's dream, you know, growing up. So this is what it's all about for me.
So what do you do? Do you tell your previous sparring partners, thanks for coming, we don't need you anymore, and then does somebody go out and find a bunch of 6'6" guys? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, well, my coach and manager and one of my like assistant coaches organized it like that. Flew in two boys, 6'4" and then a 6'5" southpaws the next day. So they arrived the next morning, and I got three spars in like that, you know. So I've got a professional team that gets stuff done, and simple, you know.
How do you think the adjustment's going to be, maybe mentally? I mean, I'm sure mentally you were prepared for a guy that's going to be on the move for however long that fight lasts. Fundora is massive, but doesn't use that size advantage at all, at least not in the fights that I've seen. Like, is it, how big an adjustment is it going to be for you in the ring?
Mentally, there's no adjustment needed, you know. I'm already prepped. It's just stylistically, that's all it is, you know, creating a different game plan, going from different shots, changing it up. But, you know, you have to adapt, you know. This is what champions do.
Is this kind of a throwback, Tim, to like the amateur days? Like, when you were an amateur, I'm sure you fought, you didn't know who you were fighting sometimes, probably, when you showed up for particular fights. Is this kind of a throwback to that, where, look, I was preparing for one guy, but this is kind of just the way it goes. If I've got to fight him, I've got to fight him.
Yeah, this is all experience, you know. You learn on the game, and it's like a mystery box. It's like a, what are they called? Little Kinders. You get what you get. It's little Kinder surprise.
Does this fight, I know you were excited to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman talks a lot. He would have been a big name on your resume. But look, I've been saying, you know, for weeks now, I thought there was a 0% chance Keith could beat you. I just didn't think he was on your level at this weight class. And I thought it would have been one-sided. I'd still make you a favorite against Fundora. But to me, as a boxing fan, this fight's a lot more interesting because we know Fundora can crack. We know he's got a high skill level. I mean, he was up 6-0 on Mendoza before he got knocked out. So you've got what I think is a more credible opponent in front of you and a chance to become a unified champion in this weight class. Does that make this fight more meaningful to you in a way than a Thurman fight would have been?
Yeah, you know what? Funny thing is, the Thurman fight was sort of felt like a comedy show, like him and his antics and him and talking it up. But this feels like a fight, and I love that feeling to be able to feel like you're in a fight, you know, because for some reason when I feel that this certain way, I'm completely different and I zone in and I rise to the occasion. And I'm actually very glad that this happened, because when I had that switch, it was like, yes, this is me. This is how I should feel.
Mm. Do you think that he's going to fight the way he's fought pretty much all his previous opponents? I mean, he has been a fight in a phone booth type of guy for most of his career. Do you expect that type of fight on Saturday?
Probably, yeah. Probably. Like, yeah, a lot of the opponents feel like because he's so tall, you need to get in. And he's good at inside boxing. So, you know, it's stylistically, it's an interesting fight. And he's an interesting fighter stylistically as well.
When was the last time you had to punch up at an opponent like that?
Every time, actually. Every time I fight, everyone's taller than me. I don't think I've ever fought anyone that's... First time was going to be Keith Thurman. I was actually, you know what? It's going to be pretty cool trying to fight someone a bit... fighting someone a bit shorter than me. Now I'm back to fighting taller guys.
This has got to be the biggest guy you've ever fought in terms of height anyway, right?
He's either highest... He's either tallest 154 pounder ever.
I know, yeah.
I don't know many people that are like that.
Never seen anything like it. Him and his sister are both like genetic freaks in how tall they are as fighters. It's wild to see. Couple things before I let you go. Keith Thurman says he wants to reschedule his fight with you once he gets healthy. Why do you feel about that?
Nah, not happening.
Mm. Why not? Why do you have no interest now?
We move on. Mm. You know, you progress. You don't go back to the scraps. You move on.
Mm. And you talk about moving on. A lot of people talking about how the winner of this fight, you know, is an option for Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford's looking to move up in weight. I know that's not on your mind right now as you prepare for Sebastian Fundora, but is that a fight you would embrace? Is that a fight you would expect to have, you know, before the end of the year if you get through Sebastian Fundora?
Yeah, 100%. You know, 100%. That's like you live for these type of fights, you know. This is what motivates you to keep going.
Is this, Tim, how kind of boxing should be, right? Like you've been incredibly active over the last couple of years in situations where I think a lot of fighters wouldn't have been. A lot of fighters would have sat out, waited for the exact right opportunity, whereas you're just like, I'm going to face this guy, I'm going to face that guy, whoever's next, I'm going to fight. And I'm guessing that's probably made you a better fighter over the last couple of years, because you've really, I think, improved in the ring every single time out. Has this level of activity been beneficial for you in the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know what? It shows character and fearlessness, you know? No challenges, no mountain is high. No mountain's too high, you know? So you just got to keep challenging yourself, and whatever you're given, you're given. We're in this sport for such a short period of time. Why waste it? You know, make the most of every moment.
I think that attitude is missing in boxing right now, that there needs to be more of that.
100%. 100%, you know.
Well, Tim, good luck on Saturday, man. Like I said, I'm always excited to watch you fight because I think you're a great young fighter, but I am way more excited to watch you fight against Sebastian Fundora, because I think that's going to be a real fight, and that's going to be a fun fight as long as it lasts in the ring. So good luck to you, man, and I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Lance Pugmire and Tim Zhu for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I will be back later this week, hopefully joined by a familiar guest.
Mannix, I'm a man on the run, and I'm not doing your fucking podcast. We're not doing it, bro. I'm a man on the run. On the run!
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.